This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under Stewardship Resources or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a deacon and trustee seminar held on July 15, 2025 in Millersburg, Ohio.
Well, good morning. Greet each of you in Jesus' name. This morning, before the seminar started, I was walking along the front of the room here, and I saw Lizzie Raber sitting over there, so I went to visit with Lizzie a little bit. And I told Lizzie that, I'll bet you've sat in a lot of meetings. And she was, oh, yes, she's sat along with Atlee in a lot of meetings. I suggested that I think she could probably run a pretty good meeting. And she demurred. She didn't think that was the case, but if you can manage a person as busy and complicated as Atlee Raber, I think you could run a pretty good meeting. Type people who are sitting in this room are the type of people who get asked to go to meetings. And I wondered already how many hours of my life I've spent sitting in meetings. And I decided I don't want to know, because it would probably be a depressing number. Well, why is that the case? Well, you should go to a meeting and you got things done and you're glad you were there and you were glad for what was accomplished. How many of you have ever been to a meeting and you left and you felt like your time was wasted? How many hours of your life have been wasted going around and around and around and around the bush, and you didn't get anything done? The topic that we have this morning is contributing to effective meetings. This topic is not specifically directed at like trustee committee meetings. There are some things that are applicable there. But the type of people who are sitting in this room are the type of people who get asked to serve on board of directors for a community organization, school boards, and various committees in the community. I have figured out already, Jason, it does say the battery is running low up here, so you might need to come up and plug this in before the laptop goes off. And I think my battery went here too. I've figured out already that there are certain habits and practices in life that tend to make things go better. If you do things a certain way, it goes better on the average day, and then on the day that isn't average, the day that it's complicated or stressful, it just goes better yet, if you do it a certain way. I'm not a farmer, but I do keep some cows kind of as a hobby, and I've learned already that it's better that the cows come running when they see you than if they go running away when they see you. It's just better. It's better to feed the cows in the corral, because on the average day, I don't need them in the corral. But on the day when we need to give some shots or the day we need to load somebody up, it's better if they're used to going into the corral. So the fact of the matter is that certain habits and practices tend to produce effective meetings, whether or not there's a big conflict or a lot of stress going on. And these certain habits and practices tend to produce effective meetings, especially when there is conflict and stress going on. I'll tell you a little story about a fella. The clicker still isn't working, Jason, but I can do this here. Maybe I can. Tell you about a fellow named Roberts. Henry Roberts was his name. In 1863, Henry Roberts was asked to serve on a committee for the church where he attended. He readily accepted the challenge. He thought it was something he was qualified to do. He was a retired Army officer, the United States Army. He was very well acquainted with how to get things done. So he accepted this committee assignment, and he failed. It did not go well. He failed badly, and he knew that he failed. He found something out. He found out that running a church-related committee isn't anything like being an army officer. He discovered that he couldn't order people around. He soon learned that everybody sitting there wanted to have their say. And he found that the meetings just went around and around and around in a circle because it was very difficult to get past disagreements and get to any type of a hard decision. Out of that bad experience, he took an interest in meetings. There's got to be a better way to have meetings than to go around and around in a circle. He studied how different organizations had meetings. He studied how the English Parliament worked, how the U.S. House of Representatives worked. And then he decided that's too complicated. We need something simpler. We need a simple way for ordinary people to run a meeting and to get something done at the end. He studied this for about 10 years. In 1876, he published a little book, Robert's Rules of Order. 150 years later, this is still sort of like the little handbook for running meetings. Much of it is more complicated than we need for the types of meetings that we run as boards of directors and committees, but there's some help. It is helpful to have order. Henry Roberts, he had three goals when he wrote this manual, this little textbook for how to operate a meeting. His first goal was to enable efficient rule by the majority. Like most of us in the room agree, most of us have decided what we want to do. How do we put that into shoe leather? A second goal was to have efficient rule by the majority, but to do it with proper respect for the minority. You don't run over people. You try to bring them along, and if you cannot bring them along, they at least know that they were heard and respected. And thirdly, to enable deliberation that ends in making good decisions. You know, if we can actually discuss things in an orderly way and be respectful to each other, it is actually possible to go to a meeting and learn something you didn't know that changes what you think about the subject you were discussing. I went into the meeting thinking that this was the answer. All we have to do is vote on it and move ahead. And then when he started talking and I started listening, I realized I wasn't seeing quite the whole picture. And maybe his answer is better than my answer, or maybe neither my answer nor his answer fits the problem, and we need to meet somewhere in the middle. We don't run big fancy meetings. I don't think we should. But the people represented in this room, you are the type of people who make our community organizations work if they work. So what do we need to get done? Like, what do we need to accomplish if we've got a meeting that we're going to? We need to tackle the problem at hand, and we need to actually get something done. Going away from a meeting having accomplished something. Scripture says that we are to be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. People's time needs to be respected. If you have seven men in a meeting and they sit there for 3 hours, how much did that meeting cost? Seven men spent 3 hours. That's 21 hours. Time is expensive. If those men earn on average, if their time is worth $30 an hour, you just spent $630 to have that meeting. If you're going to spend $630, you better would get something done. You should be able to leave saying we got somewhere. When we go to a meeting, we do need to tackle a problem at hand, and we need to get something done. We value brotherly consensus, that we can come to agreement on things, and it's unanimous. That's ideal. Like, we highly value that. Because we value that, we're willing to work at it. Like, we're not all on the same page at the beginning of the meeting. We do need to take time to discuss it. I do have to hear the other people out. There might have to be give and take in this meeting. But in the end, we actually need to get somewhere, don't we? We don't want to all go home frustrated. You know what else we need to accomplish? We need to respect each other. The scripture says, in honor, preferring one another. Brotherhood accountability does matter. I don't go into a meeting and it needs to be my way. There are other people there. If I'm working with other Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in their life as well. They have the Bible. They are able to understand scriptural principles. They have experiences that I don't have. I need to have respect for others in a meeting. No meeting should ever be a one-man show. Do you know that you should only go to meetings for reasons? Like, why are you going to this meeting? Is there a reason why you need to be there? Is there a reason why he was asked to come? If there's not a reason to be there, don't go to the meeting. If there's not a reason why we need him there, don't invite him to the meeting. Don't take up his time. Because if you are going to a meeting because you've got a reason to be there, then you deserve to be heard at the meeting. Like, you shouldn't go to a meeting and say nothing the whole time. If you have nothing to say, you shouldn't have went. But if I'm at the meeting and you're at the meeting, I need to respect you because you're there for a reason, and therefore I cannot be talking all the time. Everyone has an equal voice, a right to be heard. And when I'm willing to hear the concerns of other people, that's going to protect me, because no person gets it right 100% of the time. So I need the other people in the meeting to help me in case this is the time that I'm wrong. We also need to make informed decisions. You are probably aware that dumb decisions don't help anybody. So we don't intentionally make dumb decisions, do we? But dumb decisions get made pretty often. Why do dumb decisions get made? Well, in hindsight, you can look back and see that someone wasn't willing to listen. You can see that we didn't have accurate information on hand. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, to him it is a folly and a shame. Like, there's an issue or there's a question and you've got the answer right away and you haven't even bothered to listen to the details. Well, you're setting yourself up for folly and for shame. Hearing a matter requires two things. It does take some time. I have to quit talking and I have to listen to the other people. I have to listen to a report. I have to hear their story. It requires access to all pertinent information. I'm going to suggest a few simple rules for running a meeting. Only three of them. We're pretty simple people, so we need to keep it pretty simple. We want to get our things done. Rule number one, a board meeting is for work. We're going to a meeting for a reason. So whether it's the school board meeting or the local handicap organization in your community, whatever meeting you're going to, You're going for a reason, right? Because if you sit there and say, I don't have a reason to go to this meeting, you should stay home. You should be doing something else with your time. You should be a better steward of time. But if I'm going to this meeting, I have a reason for going to this meeting. And when we go there, I expect that this meeting is a working meeting. We want to get some things done. That means we're going to start on time. I am not going to arrive 5 minutes late. Yes, there are circumstances, unforeseen circumstances that intervene, and you might be late on occasion. I sit in a certain meeting fairly regularly. There are five men in this meeting. One of those men is always the last person in the room. And he is always about 3 minutes late. We don't ever plan to start that meeting on time because he is always 3 minutes late. There are four other men sitting there. He only wasted 3 minutes of their time, times four. He wasted 12 minutes of other people's time every meeting because he runs late. A board meeting is for work, and that means we're going to start on time. You need to go ahead and start your meeting, even if that fellow isn't there, so that he realizes when he comes in, I was late. I was not on time. They had work to do, so they went ahead and started working. If you had an employee on a job and he always ran late, you wouldn't have everybody sit there like this because he's not here yet. You would go ahead and work, and then hopefully you would deal with that situation and the employee would respond. We're also going to aim to end on time. Why would we, we're here, we're working, why can't we keep going? Well, the board meeting's for work, so we should be doing our work, but then all of these people are busy people. Who do you get to do things? Who do you get to sit on boards and committee? You always ask a busy person because they're the type of people who get things done. They have other things to do also. They had another meeting, another evening this week. They've got a family sitting at home. They're trying to run a business. So if we said we're meeting from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, they actually do want to get back to the shop before the employees leave at the end of the day because they have some things to take care of. Start a meeting on time. End a meeting on time. The role of the chairman is important there. The chairman, whether it's the school board or the handicapped association or whatever it is, it's his job to watch the clock. It's his job at 9:59 to say, hey, fellas, we need to start here in about a minute. And it's his job at 11:55 to say, we've only got 5 minutes left. We need to wrap this up. Somebody needs to watch the clock. The type of people that we are, most of the people in this room enjoy bunny trails. I've got my bunny trails that I like, and you've got your bunny trails that you like. And left to ourselves, we're going to go down bunny trails. You know who the chairman is in a meeting? The chairman is in the meeting is the guy that has a shotgun right here. And if the bunny keeps going, kerblam! He shoots the bunny. And then, okay, let's get back to where we were. So if you are a chairman, just think about that. Don't literally take your shotgun to the meeting. You might have an accident. Some of you don't unload your guns like you should. But that's who you are. You're the guy with the shotgun. And if the bunny trail is heading out that way, just aim real careful and knock that bunny over. A second rule for meetings. We're going to make some preparations. I'm only going to meetings that I have a reason to go to. And if I'm going to go, then it's worth being prepared. Number one, I will plan to attend. Remember, if you decided you didn't have a reason to go to this meeting, then you quit that committee or board. You turned in your resignation. You said, I'm not going to be participating in this any longer. You're going to have to get someone else because I don't have a reason to be here. But if I have a reason to be here, I've agreed to be on this board, I've agreed to be on this committee, then if at all possible, I'm going to attend the meetings because I have a reason to be there. And at these meetings, we get work done. So I'm going to attend. If I can't attend, I will have a valid reason. It's not going to be some lame excuse. When I give my reason for not being able to attend, the person on the other end of the phone is going to say, I entirely understand. In your shoes, I would do the same thing. It's more important to be with your family tonight. You have a valid reason when you can't attend. And you always let the chairman know in advance that you won't be able to be there. Because maybe you're going to be at that meeting for reasons, and if you can't be there, they might actually reschedule the meeting to a different time because we need to hear your input. We need you at the table. If you can't attend, you're going to let the chairman know in advance. There's going to be a written agenda for the meeting. It might be written on an index card. It might be left on a voice message. Tomorrow night, we're going to be discussing this and this and this. And here's the one thing that we actually need to decide tomorrow night. So that when you go to the meeting, your mind was always already churning. You were thinking about it this afternoon while you were just doing some monotonous activity. Because tonight, we're going to be talking about this and this and this. And I don't want to talk off the top of my head. I want to share good thoughts because I don't want to waste anybody's time. I'm going to think about what we're going to have, and I can do that because the chairman put out an agenda. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, and here is the main decision we need to come to tonight. People can come equipped if there's an agenda. If there are reports at a meeting, those reports are going to be ready. It's a terrible thing if the chairman starts a meeting and he says, Treasurer, could you give us the financial report? And the treasurer's like, well, I didn't get around to getting one together this time. Just yesterday, I was talking to a treasurer from a charity. They're going to be doing a building project, pretty significant building project. They had a meeting about this building project, and one of them suggested, well, call Richie and get some input. Maybe he can get the word out about our building project. Well, I asked a simple question. What's it going to cost? They had a meeting to talk about a building project that they plan to do. They want to get the word out so people can donate to their building project. He could not answer the question, what does it cost? He said, well, we actually didn't get our estimates in. I was thinking this, and some other guy said this. They were all over the page. They had no idea. If you go to a meeting for an organization, somebody should have a financial report ready. If they're doing a building project, whoever is in charge of the building project, like on the building committee, he should know that the chairman's going to say, well, now we're going to have a report from the building committee. And he should have a little page of notes. This is where we're at. I was in a township meeting last Tuesday night, and the township supervisor said, da, 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 da. And we got an estimate on XYZ, and it's going to be about this much. Reports. If you're going to go to a meeting, you're only going to a meeting because you got a reason to be there. And you know we're going to get work done at the meeting. And that means we need to have some information on hand. It is also very helpful at a meeting if somebody identifies what does have to be decided at the meeting. And the best person to do this is usually the chairman. The chairman is talking to the other board members. He's talking to the treasurer. He's talking maybe to the people who work for you. He should be the one who's able to come and say, well, friends, tonight we have three things that we need to decide. We have a financial question to decide. There is an issue about the building project. The building committee, I've been talking to them. They're going to have a report, but they're going to need us to decide whether we want to go this way or this way with something. Those are called action items. And someone should be able to say what those are. Here are the things we need to decide today. Everybody writes that down on their piece of paper because we got three things to decide. That's just very helpful. I can start ordering my thoughts. I can start helping to watch the clock because we got 20 minutes left and there's two things we got to do and we haven't even started on them yet. Action items. Third rule. We will seek consensus. That is very important to us. We like brotherhood agreement. When at the end of the discussion, we're all on the same page and we all move forward together, we will seek consensus in this meeting. But by the end of the meeting, we actually need to make a decision. Most of the time. And we'll give the exception to that. We're going to have open and free discussion. We're going to make sure everyone gets their chance to speak. Maybe you've noticed already at meetings, there are some people at meetings who talk a lot. Like they get on a roll and they just keep rolling. And there's another fellow who you know he has good things to say. He's on that board for a reason, but he's real quiet. He doesn't say a lot. I was involved with an organization some years ago, had a pretty big board. There were 10 board members. And there was one board member who almost never said anything. He was very quiet. But I observed something and some others observed it, and it almost became like a little joke. When that man did say something, everybody else quit talking and they picked out their pen and they wrote it down because it was actually that good. You know what a chairman does? He doesn't just run the shotgun and shoot bunnies. He also kind of stops the discussion and says, oh, we've been talking about this for about 20 minutes, but we haven't heard from Leroy yet. Leroy, what are you thinking about this? Because people should only be at a meeting if they're there for a reason. And you go to meetings to get work done. Leroy is at this meeting for a reason. But Sam keeps on talking and telling stories, so the chairman is the one that needs to kind of stick his hand in the spokes and stop the discussion and say, you know, we haven't heard from Brother Leroy yet. Leroy, what are you thinking about this? Everyone needs to get a chance. You've probably been in meetings where there's been disagreement. It is actually okay to disagree. It is sometimes good to disagree, but you must disagree in a respectful manner. Scripture doesn't give us liberty to slander people, to abuse people's character. We can disagree, but we must disagree and be respectful. Do you know that in the end, like we all know we're at this meeting for a reason, and the purpose of a meeting is to get work done. So that means we actually do need to make some decisions on something. And if we're not unanimous, the majority is going to win in the end. They have to and they need to. The majority knows that and the minority needs to know that. In the end, the majority knows that not everyone's going to agree with how this is going to shake out. Like we've been talking about for 30 minutes and it's obvious we're going to need to vote on this and it's not going to be unanimous. I need to be very respectful of the ones who are going to lose. I need to be careful how I handle them because I still want them here. Everybody at this meeting is here for a reason. We don't want to lose anybody. I'm going to be careful if it's obvious I'm in the majority. If I'm in the minority, I need to mind my manners as well. I need to know that in the end, I'm evidently not going to get my way. It looks like that. We've been talking about it for half an hour. It's pretty clear. 8 of them want to go in this direction. There are 2 of us that really don't favor that. it's going to come to a vote and I'm going to lose. I've got a 2-year-old grandson. We just got a tetherball at our house. He wants to play pops in tetherball. He hasn't learned to lose yet. You know what? That's going to be one of the most valuable lessons he can learn in the next year. How to lose graciously. Have you ever met any 40 or 50-year-old people who haven't learned how to lose yet? It's a pretty sad state of affairs. Both the minority and the majority need to understand we need to end up making some decisions. I want to suggest 4 ingredients for a good meeting. Pretty simple. You mix these 4 ingredients together, I think you might end up getting something worthwhile out of the meeting. The first ingredient is, of course, the Lord's blessing. A meeting should start with a reflection on God and His Word. It does something for you to start a meeting with prayer and maybe someone sharing a Bible verse or a thought from the Scripture. The Scripture says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We came to this meeting because we had a reason to be here. Meetings are for work, and we want the master builder to be in the meeting. Like, we don't want to leave him outside the door. We want to open our meeting to the Lord's presence and blessing. It helps take people's minds off themselves. Well, we all came to this meeting. We're all busy people. We all had 10 other things going today. And we need to be able to sit down and kind of tune out the day's activity because we came to this meeting for a reason. You can kind of change the channel there, so to speak, by starting with prayer, and maybe someone shares a verse that they were thinking about this morning. A second ingredient, having the right people in the room. And again, I said before, attendance matters. You shouldn't have anybody on a board or committee that isn't there for some reason. They're needed. And if you're needed, then you need to be present, if at all possible. You need accurate representation of the constituency that you're serving. So in a school, it's the patrons. In an organization, like maybe a local handicapped organization, it's the different church groups that are represented in that organization or the different geographic areas. You need different types of people on a board. You don't want everyone to be the same. I think on a board of directors, you need at least one person with vision. That's a person who has good ideas. Now, people with good ideas don't tend to be very practical. But you need somebody with good ideas. You need a person with vision. You don't need 3 or 4 of them, but you need at least one person with vision. You need someone who's good with numbers. We can talk about things all day long about what we should be doing, like we ought to do this project and we ought to do that project. But you realize that you actually have to pay for things in this world? You got to have somebody sitting at that table who's good with numbers. You need someone who's practical and pragmatic. I have a friend named Amos Kaufman, and he was one of the first board members at Anabaptist Financial. And when Amos was chosen, he was chosen because he has common sense. And we need at least one guy with common sense. You don't need people with all kinds of high skills. You need somebody who can just say the obvious, because the obvious sometimes gets lost in the weeds. You need 1 or 2 people on a board of directors who have determination. I call them bulldog type people. They get something in their teeth, a good idea, and it doesn't just float away. They bring it back the next meeting. And they did some homework on it. You get places when you have bulldogs. You better not have 7 or 8 bulldogs on a board because they'll fight with each other. You know, you're spreading this out. We got a guy with good ideas. He's good with numbers. This guy's got common sense. and this guy's got tenacity. He'll stick with it. You want some board members who are very good at communicating. You need communication in a board meeting. Okay, so that's the guy that says, we haven't heard anything from Leroy. Brother Leroy, what have you been thinking about this? You need someone who's good at communicating to other people. Boards make decisions and then they don't explain them to anybody and people get mad at them. And if they just understood why they made the decision, they wouldn't be upset. You need somebody who's good at communicating. I think you need someone with good connections. Do you know who you know actually does matter? There's different times I run across, like helping people understand different charities and opportunities. We're talking about a charity and they ask the question, well, who's on the board? And I say, well, so-and-so's on the board. Oh, if he's on the board, it's good. Who you know matters. You want people with good, solid reputations. I suggest you want some ministerial experience, either on the board or on an advisory committee. Preachers tend to have a nuanced understanding of what's going on in a community. They maybe can't always explain it to you. They might not even understand it themselves. Or it might be a little piece of confidential information that they can't just say, but we might be discussing using a certain person. Oh, could we hire this person, or could we get this person involved? Well, just pay a lot of attention when there's a deacon sitting over there and he just kind of tilts his head and he says, I'm not sure that would be the best. And he really can't say a whole lot more. He just, maybe he can't put his finger on it or he can't say what he knows. But when a preacher or a bishop or a deacon says, I'm not sure that would be the best thing for us to do, you might should sit up and listen. Experience matters if it's matched with integrity. Scripture says the hoary head, I've got that, is a crown of glory. But then there's an if in that verse. Do you know what it says? It just doesn't say that people with silver hair have a head of glory. No, it says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Experience matters if it's matched with integrity. It also matters to have fresh blood on a board of directors. You see it very often, especially in our church circles, that boards of directors tend to become good old boy clubs. These same guys have been on there for years and years and years. They like to get together and eat ice cream together and tell stories, and the whole thing's getting a little bit stale. You need to have younger men in place before they're needed. The scripture says, the things you've learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You should always be bringing younger men on to mix with the older men on a board of directors. Term limits are useful. Like you can serve two terms and then you have to come off. Because then we get somebody else in and we found out they do a way better job than you did. So we don't even get around to asking you to come back on. And maybe we do if you're useful, but term limits help bring in new blood. It's said that you should quit before everybody else wishes you would. Like it would be better for them to say, no, please come back. We need you just to come to this meeting. Then for you to be at the meeting and they wish you weren't. You need to quit before everyone wishes you would. Ingredient number three, you need to have valid and sufficient information. People came to the meeting knowing what you were going to talk about, generally speaking. Things can always come up. The reports were ready and they were complete. And if we're in the meeting and we discover, like in our discussion, there's a piece of information we don't have, we're actually willing to postpone the decision. You know what? We thought we were ready to go with whether we were going to do the building project or not. And it turns out there's a question about this. we better just back away from this till next time. Rome wasn't built in a day. We want to have good information so we don't make dumb decisions. We're going to know when we need to punt. Ingredient number four, some sort of a production process. Things don't just happen in the shop. In the business, you line up a production process. This is how we get things done. And in a board meeting, it should be the same way. You should know that the issues are going to be defined. Like the chairman's going to say, here are the three things we need to decide tonight. You know that there's going to be information. Like, I know there's going to be a financial report. I know there's going to be a building report. I know there's going to be a little committee that's going to give a report on this special situation or project that we're working on. I know I'm going to get information at a board meeting. I know there's going to be deliberation. They're going to open it up so that if I have an idea, I can give my idea. And it's going to be freewheeling. I can give my idea and Leroy can contradict my idea, and it's okay because he wants to hear my idea and I want to hear his idea. And I know that the chairman's going to make us vote on things. Okay, we've been talking for about a half hour. We're going to get Leroy to give his opinion yet, and then we need to vote on this. There's going to be a production process so we can get to a decision. And then we're going to write our decisions down. There's going to be some minutes. Do you know that when you don't write things down, they tend to get misremembered? I had this in a conversation just yesterday. Someone called me and we were talking about something that had been decided, and he remembered it one way, and I remembered it a different way. I checked with some others, and they all remember it a certain way, but it wasn't written down. Good people involved, if it's not written down, it can be misremembered. And then if we make a decision, we certainly are going to implement it. A couple of pointers on the role of a chairman in a meeting. I think a chairman should speak first and last. It's his responsibility to set the tone on every issue. The chairman's job is to maintain order. If someone's talking too much, he finds a kind way to shut them down and to open up the fellow who's not talking. The chairman watches the clock so that we can get our work done and all go home on time. The chairman shoots the bunnies that are taking big wide loops. The chairman also controls confidentiality. If we talked on some subject that was a little touchy, there was some private information that needed to be shared in this meeting, the chairman's job at the end of the meeting is to, now fellas, let's all remember that not everything that was said here tonight can be said in public. We need to respect the people involved. We need to maintain confidentiality. A couple of practical pointers. Use committees to push detailed work out of board meeting. You're in a board meeting, you're talking about something and starting to get down into the weeds. We shouldn't be taking up seven people's time to talk about this. Let's have Jonas and Leroy go figure this out till next meeting, and then we can make a decision. We're not going to take up everybody's time to discuss this one issue. I think chairmen should use straw votes sometime. A straw vote is not a real vote. It's like we've been talking about this for 30 minutes. I'm not sure where we're at, so we're just going to go around the table. Atlee, if we were voting, would you vote yes or no? And he would say, Phil, if we were voting on this, would you say yes or no? And you get a sense of where the room is at. Oh, it's obvious we can vote on this. Or we're pretty divided and we need to take more time. You need to have good discernment. When do you postpone a decision and expect your secretary to produce accurate and timely minutes? Your time is valuable. You should only go to meetings because you have a reason to be there. And when you're at a meeting, you should expect to work.